Welcome back to another episode of Lady, You're Scaring Us. I'm Hillary.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Marisa.
It's on now.
Oh, say it. Okay, so who are you?
I'm Marisa.
All right. So you're doing a listener suggestion. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But Taylor, I have forgotten to tell you numerous times, partly because I just didn't fucking want to, and part because I forgot. You have a fan that is in love with you.
Oh.
Who is it?
I don't know. We don't know her.
Oh, okay.
When I posted the questions once before, she was like, what did she say?
Was she asking if Taylor was single?
No, she said, I think I'm in love with Taylor.
Oh.
Same. So I'm in love with Taylor too.
Part of me didn't want to tell you because I knew you'd get a big head.
Who isn't in love with Taylor?
Shit. That's nice.
You are a catch, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. She didn't say specifically why, but...
Well, we need to know why, whoever you are.
I don't know this person?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's from the UK.
Oh.
Hey, girl. Well, hey,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Getting that bitch is a bra.
Mr. Worldwide.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
But that's awesome. This case was suggested by, and I didn't look into it. I just assigned it to you, so I don't know anything about it. But it was suggested by Jennifer.
Jennifer.
All right. Jennifer.
Can I call you Jen? Jenny.
Well, her Instagram name is Jen.
Okay, Jen.
And then the rest of her name.
Jen it is.
You can probably call her Jen.
Yeah. On Alan Legere, the monster of...
Miramichi?
Yeah. I think they pronounce it Miramichi.
Oh, okay. Is it Canadian?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Miramichi. Alan Legere, the monster of Miramichi. Are you guys ready? You ready to get into it?
Are we?
What? What's wrong?
I don't know. She's making faces and pointing.
I didn't realize that you pressed play.
You mean record? Yeah. Why would I say all the shit that I just said?
Because we got off track for a second. I don't know.
No, we didn't. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up!
I was about to finish it. Come here, put it on the mic. Why'd you leave the keys up on the table? All right.
Okay. Okay, so the land of Miramichi. It is a large city situated near the mouth of the Miramichi River in New Brunswick, Canada.
Georgia?
Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah.
Is there a river named that in?
There's I don't know. I was just trying to
figure it out.
Okay. Well, it didn't land.
Just like you didn't.
The location is popular with fishermen and known for the warm and welcoming community. On June 21st, 1986, Marie Gladening woke up with her head in a toilet inside
Taylor's
a...
Taylor's been there before.
I don't think, not necessarily in this way, but it was inside a convenience.
You can't wake up with your head. You can't wake up dead.
Sure you can. No, I've done it numerous times.
You might have thought she was dead. Head in the toilet.
Well, I interrupted you. She woke up with her head in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Inside of a convenience store in Black River Ridge that she and her husband, John, owned. She had a scarf tied around her neck. She had been brutally sexually assaulted and was barely alive.
Mm.
But she was able to crawl to a telephone to call for help. Three men had cut the power to the store not long after it closed so they could rob it. Even after getting access to the couple's safe and taking all of their money, the three men proceeded to brutally beat the couple. When police arrived, they were shocked and horrified at the scene. Blood wasn't just splattered everywhere, but it was smeared on the walls and floors. Marie survived, but emergency services were unable to save her husband, John.
Ooh.
Eyewitnesses were able to identify the three men as Todd. Oh, wow. I put T-O-B-B instead of
Tom.
Tom.
Attaboy, Tommy!
Todd, Machette, Scott Curtis, and Alan Legere. Alan Legere seemed to be the ringleader and was much older than the other two young men. Alan was known for his petty crimes in the Miramichi area. Legere grew up in the Miramichi area. He was born February 13th, 1948, to Louise Legere. Louise was a single mother of three. She would rent out rooms in her home to make ends meet. One of the men that she rented the room out to actually was the father of Alan. Mm-hmm. He grew up in a troubled neighborhood of Chatham Head. They were very poor. Chatham Head? What is your deal? They were very poor. The residents in the area would struggle to find food at times or even keep their homes warm. Alan grew up with no father and with a mother who was promiscuous and would bring her many men home.
Many men?
No clue.
50 Cent?
I don't listen to that stuff. I don't know what to tell you.
What do you mean that stuff?
Rap. Rap. I don't listen to rap.
All right.
Anyway, so the house had very, very thin walls, so he could hear
his mom working.
Yeah. Right.
That's horrible.
Yes. Alan also had to share a room with his sister.
Oh, God.
Would actually watch her undress. There was no funny business.
Let me guess. Okay. Is he going to start fucking his sister?
No.
I bet
not that I'm aware of.
That was a nervous laugh.
Well, I don't know if that happened.
It did.
It happened.
It's not documented.
It's like that one killer who had to share the bed with all of the girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the story Fatma.
Yeah. That was a good one. In school, he would get into a lot of fights. Although some thought that he had a lot of potential as an artist, others thought that he was just a thug. So basically in the documentary that I watched about him, was that he was the type of person, like, if he liked you, you thought that he was great. But if he didn't like you, you thought that he was a fucking prick.
Oh, like me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah.
Sometimes, there are some similarities. Sometimes even when you like people, you're like, love me.
When Alan was a teenager, his older brother was actually run over by a truck while he was crossing a bridge, and he died. His mother told Alan she wished it had been him instead of his brother.
Damn. I'd be like, well, I wish it was you, Mom.
You whore. You right? Fucking whore. Alan dropped out of school at the age of 16 and left his mother's home. He became a drifter and started committing minor crimes and thefts. The descriptions of some of these crimes were unsettling. Even though he would only steal items of minimal value, the victims would wake up with him standing at the foot of his bed.
No.
Just watching them.
No. That's like a fucking nightmare of mine.
It is mine too. Someone breaking into my house and killing me is a legit fear.
Yeah, me too.
Because I even have documentation from when I was way too young to have written it. Someone said, or it was like the prompt was like, what's your biggest fear? And I said, someone breaking into my house and murdering me. Yeah. I wrote that as a kid.
That's that's one of my biggest fears too.
Really?
Yeah. It's bad.
Oh.
And yet here we are talking about it.
Yeah. And Hunter is always like, man, I said, yeah, but okay, but you'll just get murdered. I'll get
You're
raped
a man.
First.
Yeah. I mean, he could get raped, but.
He could.
Yeah, true, but probably not. And yeah, he feels like, and he's like, I would hear him. I'm like, dude, you slept through an actual hurricane.
Yeah.
You'd be dead before.
I would be really fucked because actually, you know, like wear a mask with the noise canceling speakers in them. So I don't hear shit.
Why do you do that?
Yeah.
You're probably like a serial killer yourself. They'd probably be scared of you. With
Is it fucking classical music?
They'd probably walk
No, I just listen to white noise.
They'd probably... That's why you have a fan.
Yeah, no. You're a psycho.
Yeah, you would scare them. They'd walk in and be like,
I listen to white noise in headphones.
She probably looks like Hannibal Lecter in her bed.
With my mask.
Noise-canceling headphones.
And Amy says that I look dead whenever I'm laying in bed. But she sometimes my incredibly beautiful, wonderful wife snores and it wakes me up and I have to get up
for your noise canceling.
No, that's why she has them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I have them. So then I'll have to get up and go to the couch every night. I can now sleep in my bed all night long.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, you probably like Hannibal Lecter.
Maybe.
Give us.
They'd walk in her room. She'd be like, hello, Clarice.
I'm glad you came. If they didn't wake up, he would leave something behind on the bed as a sign that he had been there. One time, he even cut the underwear off of a sleeping woman. He targeted victims that were vulnerable and completely at his mercy, like the elderly, the sleeping, to give himself a feeling of power and superiority.
I do not like that at all.
So after the robbery and the...
But also, I feel like little bitches kill people while they're asleep.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. He definitely had an inferiority complex because that was most of
his... If you want to kill me to my face.
And he prided himself on being able to rob people while they were at home, but they were mostly elderly people. So after the robbery, the assault of Marie Gladning, and the murder of her husband, John, Machette, Curtis, and Legere were arrested. Todd Machette pleaded guilty. Scott Curtis and Alan Legere were convicted at trial for murdering John Glendening and brutally beating his wife.
Todd must have told on him.
I'm pretty sure. Legere was sentenced to life in prison. In prison, he was a model prisoner, gaining favor with the guards. So Alan Legere had absolutely no intentions of spending the rest of his life in prison. He would collect his urine, pour it in his ear until he got an ear infection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pona, pona.
That's real commitment.
That's all. But I mean,
pour your own piss.
It's better than what some prisoners do to not be in jail.
Yeah.
They'll shove things in their pee-pee.
Yeah,
to go to the hospital.
To go to the hospital just to get a few days off or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had to be transferred to a hospital. While at the hospital, the guard allowed Alan to use the bathroom unsupervised. I thought that he was, like I said, if he liked you, they thought he was great. He was a model prisoner. So they're like, he's not going to do anything. Well, Alan had a piece of metal and TV antenna in his rectum. He was able to unlock the cuffs and escape the hospital before the guard knew what happened.
Honestly, though, prisoners are the best patients. They're just happy to not be in prison. Mm-hmm. They don't complain about shit.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't intending on staying at the hospital either. Yeah.
An antenna in his rectum.
Yeah. And another piece of metal that he unlocked the...
But they collapse, so he's like, damn, boy.
He collapsed. What if it didn't?
Can you imagine? No, we're going to go with it collapsed.
That's one good thing about being a woman. You don't have to put stuff in your rectum. You can just put it in your vagina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's probably more room there, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is when Alan Legere's reign of terror really began.
That poor guard.
Yeah, he probably felt like an ass.
Yeah.
So he was...
lost his job.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He was basically regarded as the boogeyman. They didn't know where he was or what he would do, but people would be careful what they would say because they thought that he would be listening and that he would target them.
What?
Because he would still do these petty thefts and go into their homes, but he...
Be careful, Alan's watching.
Yeah.
Pretty much is what they thought.
Don't say that or Alan's gonna get you.
He would prowl at night, he would commit these thefts, and then just disappear. Nobody ever knew where he went. So, I guess there was a bunch of wooded area that he grew up in that area.
Kind of like right behind your house?
Kinda, yeah. Well, this is in Canada, so I'm not scared of the boogeyman. Why? Maybe a little. Anyway, so people even added like more streetlights around their homes.
That's generally a good idea
because they knew that he was out at night.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening in the beginning. What year are we talking?
This is in 86.
Okay.
Okay. So on May 28th. Okay, so this is actually in 89. So this is after the first set of crimes happened in 86. This is in 89. On May 28th, 1989, Harry Preston drove by Annie Flam's corner store at 3:50 a.m. and saw smoke coming from the door. He pounded on the door to see if anyone was inside. Two officers were also passing by at the time and quickly called the fire department. Officer Pugh broke down the back door and found Annie Flam's sister-in-law, Nina, at the foot of the stairs, partly clothed and barely conscious and badly burned. He wrapped her in his coat and called an ambulance. Sadly, Annie did not share the same rescue. She died in her upstairs bedroom, tied to a chair. Both women had been severely beaten and sexually assaulted before Legere lit the house on fire to destroy the evidence. On October 14th, 1989, so the first, that one was on May. Now we're jumping ahead to October. Mm-hmm. A volunteer firefighter, Danny Sullivan, saw smoke coming from the house of sisters Donna and Linda Downey. He raced around the corner to the fire hall and called for help while gearing up. The two women were discovered inside but did not survive. They were severely beaten and sexually assaulted. Both women died from blunt force trauma, and Linda's beating was so brutal it broke her jaw. They were also unrecognizable from the violence. They were identified based on the differences in height and weight.
Hmm.
The Miramichi area was a prolific Catholic community. And Alan had a real aversion to the Catholic Church and their wealth. He also hated the people in Miramichi. He felt they looked down on him because he was poor, and apparently he was very short statured.
So they literally looked down on him because he was short.
Because he was short. And this gave him like a real inferiority complex. Mm-hmm. So they said, I guess whenever he was a teenager too, he was kind of scrawny. So he got really, really big into bodybuilding. And he, like the pictures you see of him, the dude's stacked. Like he has got a lot of muscle.
When you said stacked, you put your hands out like boobs. So I'm confused. Sorry,
like stacked like big muscles.
Got it.
I put them here. I meant to put my hands out closer to my arms.
Just a natural thing for you, yeah.
Right. So anyway, and he would always like walk around without a shirt on or with a shirt that would just reveal his...
A deep V cut. I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah.
He's not what I pictured at all.
No.
Is it, huh?
No.
Oh. Yeah, he's... Yeah. He was terrifying. Like, you see younger...
He's not as bad. I mean, I don't know why we're smashing or passion murderers. But general pass.
There is one picture that you can see where he doesn't have a shirt on. It's an older picture of him when he was a little bit younger. But you can see all his definition. And he just thought that he was getting looked down on because of the neighborhood he grew up in. He was poor. His mom. Yeah. It was all in his head. So he really wanted to like punish the town of Miramichi. So he thought that where it would really hurt would be his last victim, which was Father James Smith of Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Church in Chatham Head. When Father Smith...
That's a mouthful.
He's Catholic.
They're Catholic. When Father Smith didn't show up for Mass, a man who did jobs for the church went to go check on him and saw his body on the floor and called police. Father Smith had 13 broken ribs. The ribs were actually separated from his sternum. They think that maybe he he jumped on him in such a way.
Oh.
He had multiple stab wounds. His neck and chest were actually cut open. Legere, again, had evaded police. He was known to have boarded a train headed to Quebec. But so the police got on the train. They knew that he had a tattoo of an eagle on his shoulder. So they approach Legere on the train, but they don't know it's him because he had changed his appearance. So they ask the man, "Let me see your shoulder." Well, he very calmly and just, you know, didn't look apprehensive at all, showed him his shoulder, but there was no eagle. So they let him go.
Did he show them both shoulders?
No.
Right.
They had him right there, but they asked for the wrong shoulder, and he wasn't going to show them both. He just showed him the shoulder they asked for. So he's going away from Miramichi towards Quebec, but then he decides that he's going to come back.
Why not?
So he does a whole U-turn. He hijacks a trucker and at gunpoint and makes his way back to Miramichi. And the authorities over there kind of thought that he would do that because he was absolutely targeting all the people there.
And those kind of fuckers like to go back to the scene of the crime.
Yeah. So they had put up a bunch of roadblocks and he was caught. And when they caught him, he was like, "Yeah, it's me. You got me." He was apprehended on November 24th, 1989. His trial occurred in 1991. The trial was the first in Canadian history to use DNA evidence to convict rather than exonerate someone. Right? Okay. In 1991.
Right?
Yeah. While in prison, the first time DNA samples were collected for his file, and there was blood and semen found at multiple crime scenes. Legere was sentenced to life in prison on...
Again?
Yep. On November 2nd, 1991. He is still serving his sentence at the Edmonton Institution, a maximum security federal prison in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which is in the western half of Canada. He did petition for parole. This is kind of funny. In 2021, after blaming others for his crimes, he argued that he would just safely return to New Brunswick and everything would be fine. He's like, "I'm good. Guys, I got it out of my system. Right. I'll be really, really good this time.
Half of those just people that I didn't like are probably dead."
I was just like trying to show that priest.
Hey, I'm over it now.
Yeah.
I'm over good. It.
Some wrestling moves.
DDT'd him.
And I just
Yeah. So anyway, he is still alive. And he still is.
Where was he hiding?
Canada.
He was in the woods. Mm. They think that he was probably somewhere in the woods because he knew them so well, and they didn't. That is their assumption. I really don't know.
They could have been like, "Hey, hunters in the area, accompany us through the woods."
I don't know.
That part.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
If they wanted to, they would.
If he could break into homes with people,
I don't like that.
That is really bothering you.
Yeah.
Real quick, hate it.
I'm going to be sleeping on the couch tonight.
Why would you sleep on the couch?
Because I can see the front door and the back door.
And they can see you.
I put a blanket over that one.
Okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I'm telling you, I got it.
I just feel like you'd be more vulnerable.
No, because all the exits are right here.
Yeah. Okay.
If they come in the front door, I go out the back. They go in the back, I go out the front.
Yeah.
Or, but then you gotta outrun them.
I just go to my neighbor's house.
Help. But you have to. You would have to put Denny in such a place that you could grab him on your way out. Don't you think?
Or he can. He knows how to hide.
Okay. Yeah. He can probably handle himself.
But he can move fast.
Yeah. He could probably handle himself.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to fuck with a cat.
Probably wouldn't even see him.
That's true. Yeah. So that was a pretty interesting story. I liked it. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was a good one, Jen.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Sorry it took me so long to get to it. I apologize.
Yeah, it did take you a while.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I think Jen will forgive you.
Thanks. Thanks, Jen.
So, let me get our question. This question is from Hannah, and she said, how would you achieve world domination? I don't want it.
I don't want it either.
Sorry, Hannah.
Yeah. World sucks. Don't need it. Don't want it.
Yeah.
What the world needs now.
I don't want that. I'd rather just live by myself in some secluded area.
Yeah, I don't want to be responsible for these fucking losers.
That's the only thing that there's just...
So this isn't...
I'd take the world by storm through song.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would.
So when I was thinking about this, it made me think... And I don't know, it's kind of off topic, but I read a book once, and you need to read it. I think I told you before.
Okay.
You can't read, so I never suggested it to you. It's called The End of Men, and it's about a virus that kills all men.
Yeah, I do remember you telling me about that.
All ages. Women are carriers, but it doesn't kill them or make them sick. So, like, people's husbands are dying, their dads are dying, their babies are dying. And basically, at the end of the books, I mean, it's not really a spoiler, there are very, very few men in the world, and there's no war. Crime is basically non-existent, and everybody's
just a lot living. Of passive aggressive bitch.
Yeah, but basically everybody's living their best clicks. Life
a lot of yeah. clicks, a lot of passive aggressiveness.
So I mean, that would be step one, I guess. Just get rid. You're just getting rid of all the men.
Okay.
I would do it through song, like I said.
But it's a good book. You should definitely check it out. It's told from like the perspective of different women.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely will.
Don't act like you're going to read it, Taylor.
Oh, I'm not. But I'm just saying. Like, I'm engaged.
The audiobook is good too.
Oh, there you go. You can do that. Yeah. Somebody can read it to you.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry that was not a good answer, but the world can go fuck itself. I want
Anne Hathaway to read it to me.
Oh,
can
yeah.
you like do that? Have somebody specific read it?
I don't think so.
I'll ask Anne if she'll...
Oh, you know her?
Yeah,
nice. Of course.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
If you don't, follow us on Instagram @lady_scariest, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.